Today's episode of the Outlep F1 podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're in office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy business, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment, and within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send it. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and with our promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. And now, off to the episode.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 54 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is our Saudi Arabia GP race preview. We have a full podcast at full strength tonight. It is Andy. I'm along with James, John, and Deanna. It's Wednesday night. It's our second to last race of the season. So, folks, how are we doing?
I'm about to start a four-day weekend, so I'm doing pretty good.
That must be nice.
Yeah.
I just found out it was Wednesday and not Tuesday.
I've got Chick-fil-A sweet tea, so I'm doing spectacular.
Well, I had Chick-fil-A for lunch today. So good. And it was free because it was from work.
You and your free shit these days. I don't know what's going on with this.
Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Oh, jeez. You got to teach me some things.
All right. Well, you can find our show and Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, YouTube, as well at Outlap F1 Podcast. If you are happening to be watching this on YouTube, please do us a solid. Click the like and subscribe buttons. You can email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can go find our beautiful website, www.outlapf1.com. If you are brand new to the end of this epic season, welcome aboard. You've picked a good time. But if you'd like to find out exactly what's going on with all that, please do check out our F1 for Beginners Season 3, Episode 6. It's all about soup to nuts, the sport we love and love to talk about, Formula One. If you are contemplating going to a race next year, please do check out our COTA Experience and Global Motorsport Survey. That is Season 3, Episode 47. Please do check that out. We try to give you the insider information on what to do and what not to do at Circuit of the Americas. Please do check out Relap with Deanna. Her Qatar reaction from the couch is up and live. Deanna, want to say anything special about it?
It's on the couch. It's the new thing. Even though it makes my setup miserable and why I'm running with limited holding this thing right now. But yeah, it's a great time. I did enjoy it. I think the feelings were a little mixed, but yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Very good. Go check that out on YouTube. Also, Outlap F1 Nation, and we are proud to announce we have a new member of the Outlap F1 Nation. Special shout out to Regan Stanzak for joining and becoming a full-fledged member of the hashtag Outlap F1 Nation. We are still working towards getting that sign in Zandvoort where we can have Fernando Alonso run over all of your names. So please do check out our link in the show notes, $1, $5, whatever you would like to give. That's great. We do all turn around and put it right back into the show. We hope you've seen the improvements throughout this season, and we're doing it, like they said, to try to make everything better. So we will hop into our news before we hop into our Saudi Arabia preview. Exactly. So first item up, a bit of a sad story. Well, very sad story, actually. Sir Frank Williams has finally succumbed and has passed away at the age of 79 on Sunday. Probably legend doesn't do him justice. 43 years of family involvement in Formula One, with the most recent win being as team principal with Pastor Maldonado in 2012. Thoughts on Sir Frank Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I think Frank Williams, like you said, one of the legends of F1, and I think kind of one of the great ones to kind of start from pretty much nothing. He went bankrupt a few times in the beginning, lost, I think, started at least two teams, and then Williams took off. And once that started, it really, I think he won a race within 2 years and then a championship within three, and then just went on to become the most successful team, one of the most successful teams of all time. And then on top of that, after his accident, in a car accident in the mid-80s, I can't remember exactly which year, which left him as a quadriplegic, and he nearly died on probably multiple occasions through that whole process. I highly suggest reading Williams by Jenny Williams, his wife, that kind of details kind of them meeting and leading up and all of the kind of behind the scenes of him working through that and then going through the injury and how hard they fought through that. It's a really, really great story. And he was definitely just huge fighter, and it's really impressive what he was able to accomplish. And it's a big loss for the sport, but it's a great life to be able to celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, Williams Racing is just one of those that, even though they haven't had the most success in a while now, but it's, you know, you hope that name lives on, you know, forever. You know, I know it's obviously been bought out, and the Williams family's, you know, is not directly involved anymore, but, you know, it's a legendary part of the sport. It would be like an iconic, you know, sports franchise that is no longer there. It just would be wrong to see that move on to something else. So I hope that as time goes on that, you know, they'll continue to honor, because I mean, the family, Frank, you know, they did so much for F1, over 43 years, really. So, you know, I think it's important to honor that. And they're as much as part of the sport as Ferrari and anybody else. So.
Yeah. Especially for newer fans, it's a good opportunity to go back and watch Williams. It's a documentary all about the Williams family and everything. So I remember I watched that early in my F1 fandom.
Is that,
and
learned Prime? A lot.
I think it was on Prime at the time. I think you can find it just about anywhere now. Definitely on YouTube.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch, though.
To rental. Sure. Yeah, really good. Because especially when I first came into F1, Williams was like the laughingstock. Still kind of is. Maybe not as much thanks to Haas, but you really get a sense of the history then and really what he did for the sport. So that gave me a totally different perspective. And probably my favorite moment from this happening this last week or so has been everybody sharing that video of Lewis Hamilton driving him around, which is just a great video. Definitely puts a smile on your face watching him really enjoy that lap with Lewis. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to talk about, we talk in the modern era of Mercedes domination. In the early 90s, especially like 91, 92, that was Williams domination. That blown diffuser, the first time it was there, and everybody did the same thing that people do today, you know, protest and all the other stuff and try to change the rules to make it, you know, so that everyone else can catch up. Williams was a pioneer of that. And that a lot of that came out of his brain and some of the engineers on that team. So he knew how to put together a winning team. The family, like I said, 43 years involvement in the sport is amazing. I mean, it's almost half a century. So, yeah, like I said before, legend doesn't do it justice, but a legend has been lost this weekend. And condolences to the Williams family on the passing of Sir Frank. All right. Next story, the Barcelona track. We didn't see this one coming. Gets a new deal and gets re-upped until 2026. So,
yay.
Circuit de Catalunya that nobody can overtake on, but it's a great test track. Apparently, it's going to stick around for a while. Thoughts?
I mean, hey, we got new cars coming, so it could turn into the best track on the calendar for all we know. Come next year. You mark it, you heard it here first. probably unlikely, but I mean, anything's possible, right? So, I mean, I feel like if you get rid of that last chicane, you know, it's such a different track. I feel like if we just, you know, kind of retaper and, hey, we're doing that to Abu Dhabi and a couple other places, you know, why not, you know, I mean, it's already paved. They don't have to do anything. So, right. You know, just move the cone from one side to the other and see what happens. So, I mean, during, you know, preseason testing, half drivers take that line anyway. So, yeah, it's amazing what Fernando Alonso on a podium can do, right? It was signed like 2 days after that, I feel like. So, this is what it is.
Is next year's Barcelona testing, is that the testing that's going to be not televised?
Well, so that's the first announced session, it, but that was supposed to be, the first test is supposed to be at Barcelona. Yeah. There hasn't been a TV announced for that yet.
So So I thought, yeah, I thought we talked about that they weren't going to televise the first X amount of days at all.
Well, it's rumored that that's not it. They have not come out with an actual what they're going to do and what they're going to cover. Okay. The second test, I think the final 5 days of it, I think, is in Bahrain. That is supposed to be covered, you know, back to front. I sure hope they cover both of them. Otherwise, it's going to, you know, we're going to go back to watching the little text streams on Autosport. So-and-so back out on track and then wait a minute to see what their lap time was.
Refresh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. Well, I read about it on the internet, so I believe it to be fact.
2022, yeah, that'd be a shame if we couldn't get a – I mean, especially since we're all paying for F1 TV as well. Like, you know, can we get our money's worth here? So.
Well, yeah, that's why I have it. That's why I bought it, was for the testing.
Oh, all but right. Yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll get something good out of it, but yeah, it's a long deal. Not as long as Qatar and some other places, but
yeah, it's 4 years. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, the Spanish fans, when they come out, are very passionate. So, you know, good for them that I guess they keep a Grand Prix. It's not Valencia. So,
what this tells you, if there was any doubt, Fernando Alonso will be racing until 2026.
Of course, science.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, forget about science. Forget he's a Spaniard sometimes.
He'll be on Ferrari with Schumacher by that point, right, John?
Yep, you know what?
Oh.
Hey, there was some news articles about Ferrari and Leclerc this week, but I didn't put it on the agenda, so. Hey, shut your mouth. I paid my bet.
Hey, until it's in my head, it's not a real thing.
It's out of my bank account.
So I was going to say, he's actually put the money up, so I think he's paid.
We're just going to hide that one from the significant other. What the hell is $100 to Benny's? Nothing, don't worry about it. the fine people at Benny's Beverage Depot, if you're in the Chicagoland area, they're wonderful people. Great recommendations. Highly, you know, Tom, shout out, buddy. Appreciate it.
Top notch.
All your alcoholic needs.
Good stuff. All right. Next story. Lando Norris is moving from the UK to Monaco. A lot of drivers call Monaco home. Get that tax savings where you can. I guess he moves in about a month. I guess there was a picture of him painting or doing something all over social media. So I guess congratulations to him. Any thoughts on that or anything significant?
No. I would do the same thing. Nope. It just, and I'm sure this means it's going to be a lot longer before he gets knighted, but besides that, it should be good.
Right.
Yeah.
On that note.
Hey, money's money, right?
So, hey, we actually do get F2 back this weekend. In case you forgot, that season is still yet to come to a close.
I had forgotten, and I'm not going to lie.
There is a bit of news in that paddock. Logan Sargeant will get moved up to F2 for this weekend and the final weekend at Abu Dhabi, driving for HWA Race Lab. Nice to see an American get a shot at the penultimate step on the road to F1. I don't know much about HWA Race Lab, except I know in Formula E they've always been at the back, so I don't know how they are in F2, so I'm hoping that that's a good drive for him, but I don't know.
I'm just excited to have him in there. You know, it gives me yet another reason to watch Formula 2. So, it's phenomenal racing, but when you can have an American on, you know, add another American, just cherry on top for me. So, looking forward to it. I had forgotten that F2 was still a thing because it feels like it's been 2 months, I think we figured out, since the last time they raced. And a lot's happened since then. But, yeah, I think, you know, this track's going to be crazy. And, yeah, I think it'll just be more entertainment, honestly, for the weekend. So I'm looking forward to sitting back and enjoying it.
So HWA is currently 11th out of 11 teams in F2.
Nice.
But hopefully, with Logan Sargeant signing on with Williams, hopefully this is leading into a full-time F2 drive for next year. So hopefully this goes well.
Yeah, I mean, if he's able to do what he was able to do in F3, which is kind of drag the team up the grid, I mean, even if he finishes, let's say, realistically, like P15, that's probably really good for HWA. So, hey, you know, if he scores points, even better. But I just hope he shows well and, you know,
yeah,
impresses the right people and people can see him drive.
Yeah, I mean, if he can bring that car up the grid, like you said, even if it's, you know, in the teens somewhere, I think for, you know, a car with a much more power, that he doesn't have a whole lot, you know, really any seat time on, and maybe the most ridiculous track on earth these days, depending on what actually happens this weekend. I mean, that would be an impressive showing, I think, for anyone. So,
and at this point, I think after the Andretti deal fell through, he's our next closest option for an American driver. So,
you had to bring that up.
Fingers crossed.
I'm still a little sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get our announcement at COTA. We couldn't be live and in person when all that stuff dropped. So, oh well. The next deal that comes along, we'll have to follow. So, before we get into our formal race preview, we just wanted to let everybody know there are title clinching scenarios out and in the ether. Max Verstappen, as the leader, is the one who can possibly clinch the Drivers' Championship this weekend. With the following scenarios, he would need to win and get fastest lap. And if that happens, Lewis needs to then finish sixth or lower. So top five for Lewis keeps the championship alive no matter what. If Max wins and finishes without the fastest lap, Lewis then would need to finish seventh place or lower in order for Max to clinch. If Max is second but has the fastest lap, Lewis then would need to finish anywhere within the top 10 or lower. And if Max is second and without fastest lap, the only way he wins the championship this weekend is if Lewis does not score. So still, I think pretty much all to play for. It looks like we're probably going to end up going to Abu Dhabi, but that's why we watch, because who knows what can happen. This year has been crazy. So those are the potential title clinching scenarios for your enjoyment. All right. We did have one listener question. Fabrice asks, how do the F1 authorities decide how safe a track like Saudi Arabia is with all of the tight walls and its supposed, we don't know this for sure yet, ridiculous average speeds?
I mean, even the paver guy had a pretty high speed. So I think we're in, I think it's a pretty good shot. Andy, you want to take this one? Because they gave the safety rating right before we even picked up one shovel and moved some dirt around. So,
well, I was going to say it's basically once they decide that it's a grade one circuit, it can host F1 cars based on the layout, based on simulations, I'm assuming at this point, because we really didn't have the real thing. We still don't really know if we're going to have the real thing. That's kind of a question. There's a video that came out. Deanna posted it on her Twitter this afternoon earlier that they're still putting things together and still trying to figure everything out. So, but generally, usually what happens is the Michael Massey or whoever's in that position comes out to the track, would inspect it. They will have safety cars going around and inspecting things to make sure that there's nothing weird happening. If anything does arise, that's when they will stop sessions and do what they have to do to fix things if it comes to that. I haven't seen that happen in a while, but every now and then, sometimes
we'll set back who, you know, like
20, back who with the
manhole cover,
the sewer, the manhole cover,
not welded down.
Jensen Button literally vacuumed it up off, you know, and through the rivets there.
We had the Portimao curbs last year. That
right.
Was fun. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Yeah. So anyway, it may happen, but yeah,
I do think, and I don't know exactly what they are. Don't quote me. I need to dig through the actual FIA rule book. I think, though, and they're skirting around some of this, that's like you need to have certain safety measures in place, like a few months before. Should probably have like a junior series run before, which none of that has happened. So they definitely got force majeure to bring back PTSD from Spa, all of this stuff. So, yes, should this have the safety rating? It does. I don't know. Based on their own rules, probably not. So we'll see.
I mean, in all fairness, anywho, Miami has already been rated grade one. And
yeah, I also don't think that's a good idea, but I think at least that might actually be done on time for them to do at least inspections and things.
Yeah, I'm at with least you. If you can't physically see it, then it shouldn't be a safety rated track, in my personal opinion. But, you know, hey, Saudi Arabian oil money. Hey, it pays for many things, Deanna. Yeah, I guess so what was the answer on this? We don't know. It's
Well, no, I mean, usually
have a vague idea, but don't like
we know it's supposed to happen, but
No, when they go in greatest circuit, it's normally, I mean, when they did it for Coda, and this was a long time ago, I remember Charlie Whiting was there about 3 months before, and that was a build that was right up to the deadline, too. They weren't sure if they were going to get the asphalt down and everything, but he was there about a month before and said, based on what he saw, he was okay with certifying it. We've seen videos of Michael Massey walking around buildings with that look like shells of themselves earlier and saying, oh yeah, this circuit is going to be fine. So I guess it gets a blessing, but that's normally the procedure.
It is.
They're obviously going around it, but it's also because it's a temporary circuit. A lot of the normal grading doesn't necessarily have to go in the same order.
It is frightening when F1 and the circuit are posting this magical pictures of everything being glorious. And then you see people that actually live there, like today, F2 drivers posting videos where it looks like it's about 3 months out still. So, but hey, they got 36 hours, right, left. So they're fine. It's all good.
Yeah, you just got to hope this goes off without a hitch, or this is going to get really messy really fast.
Yeah.
Everybody pretending like there's nothing wrong for the past few months is a bit insane when everybody has eyes and can look that it is not okay. So hopefully I think we'll be okay in the end, but yeah, I think there's probably a couple nerves going into this one.
Well, and don't forget the last time that a international racing series raced in Saudi Arabia, there was some other things that happened not related
some
to
things
the
track
itself. Yeah.
It's a bird, it's a plane,
Yeah, exactly.
I think when they say the track is safe, it just means their missile defense system is fully upgraded and
up and running. Lord, I hope, yeah. We were all, after that, we were like, surely we'll never go to Saudi Arabia, right? Anywho's, we might get canceled tomorrow from F1, but we speak the truth on this show. Hey,
what's the
if
worst
we
thing?
We do, it's been a hell of a run.
We made it through 141 episodes or something like that, but it was all good.
Good run.
All right. So to actually get into our preview proper, who wants to talk about the Jeddah Corniche track facts?
Right, let's
try our good friends.
At now that you pronounce it for me, I'll take a crack at it. I was looking at that earlier, and I had no idea how to say that word. but we've got the Jeddah Corniche track facts brought to us by Pirelli Motorsport. It is in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. We will have 50 laps around a track that is 6.174 kilometers or 3.836 miles long. Tire selection is C2, C3, and C4, with track characteristics being traction, braking, both 2 out of 5, lateral load and tire stress, both 3 out of 5, as well as asphalt grip, 3 out of 5. You have asphalt abrasion and downforce, both rated at 2 out of 5. John, who has the most wins at this track?
Well, first off, before I do that, I feel like asphalt grip is very optimistic at a 3 out of 5, considering it was just paved last week.
I feel like it's
going
to be like a negative 5 by the time we get there.
Well, it's still going to be
does
wet,
that
so
count
it'll be plenty grippy.
With the traction. 6 inches of sand on top of it, is that equated to the – is that involved? I don't know.
They got blowers for that. They'll just blow the sand off. It's all fine.
Most wins of this track officially, there hasn't been any. And unofficially, we're calling the asphalt dude, the paver guy. I'm fairly certain he's got the most of anyone. Definitely holds the track record at 2 minutes and 5 seconds, I believe. So,
I mean, technically, we're all tied for the most wins of this track.
Hey, that's in the resume.
Yes, every constructor and every driver right now is all tied for P1 at this track.
Some dude on Xbox, he's probably got the, you know. But, yeah. Andy, what's the circuit like? If it's done...
It will be fast, and it will be very fast. Average speeds are simulated at the Jeddah Corniche circuit to be around 252 kilometers an hour, which is quicker than those at Silverstone, and second on the 2021 calendar, only to Monza. And if you don't know, Monza is also known as the Temple of Speed, so it will quite simply be the fastest street circuit ever seen in Formula One. While the track will also feature the most corners, there are 27 corners, my gosh, the 2021 calendar. Many of them will be quick, sinuous bends as the drivers wind their way along the Jeddah waterfront. As for weather, and this is a recurring theme, so basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, pretty much all the same temperature ranges. Sunny in the daylight with temps falling once sunset occurs, high of around 87, both for qualifying and the race. Winds will be light and variable, so probably not much of a factor. temps are expected to fall all the way to potentially 73 degrees. So it is a big difference. So car setup will be key at night. So for both qualifying in the race, right around 87, falling to 73 or 74 degrees, no wind necessarily in sight. So we are going to take a quick break. We will pay a couple of bills and we will come back and we will get to our predictions game, which should be interesting because we have no idea what we're doing.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 54 of the OUTLAP F1 Podcast. It's our Saudi Arabian Grand Prix Race Preview Show. And we are now into our predictions segment, so it is now time for...
I'm just happy that people came back with all the confidence that you displayed at the end of the last segment. So letting them all know that...
these lap times are going to be a hot mess, but the predictions might be right. You know, we were not that bad. Deanna's doing great with picking the podiums, so, you know... She's up to me at P2.
So Deanna goes first, I think, right? She's the biggest threat right now.
That's not what we talked about.
Leah goes first.
They're changing the rules, people. I'm going to the Stewards.
No.
To what they should have been the whole season.
Speaking of which, did we ever give points for the last race? Because everybody had predictions in the agenda except for the guy that did the podcast.
Hey, I mean, you know.
I don't think we ever actually did. I mean, I put lap times in, they look abysmal, so.
I feel like I would have won some points. Now this whole thing.
I think I decided mid-episode that I was going to give everyone a half point to honor Spa, so.
I think we should get all the points. You don't get any because you're in first and you blew it.
I'll give you a half point.
All right, I'll take it.
You'll be one step closer to me.
All right. So as we are apt to do, we start with the qualifying fastest driver and then the lap time. So, John, as you've been nominated to go first,
bullshit.
What you got?
Yeah, so mid-break, they decided to change the rules, and apparently the leader goes first now. So, welcome
sense.
To F1. We're just following the real F1 where you change rules mid-season. So, I'm going to go with a Lewis Hamilton as P1, and the time... I'm going to go with a 127.996.
All right. 127.996.
Yeah. And here goes the Price is Right stuff. 997, 995. All right,
I'll go next. I will not be Price is Rating you, at least not directly. I will take Lewis Hamilton to take the pole. But my lap time will be a 128.623.
I can go next.
All right.
I will also go for Lewis Hamilton, but I'm going to go even slower and go 129 because I think this thing will be real dusty.
129, so not a lot of track evolution there. All right, so we're all over the place, James. What's your thought?
Where's John's 991?
127.996.
I'll go.
Maybe you should write these.
I'll go one thousand below 995.
127.995.
So what I should be doing?
The original.
Price is writing Deanna or Andy because they're his biggest competition.
The original. I don't know what point. The original number I wrote down was 1:26.911. So I'm just gonna go slightly under you and hope for the best. Although Deanna's dusty
it's still
point
worthy
is
of
killing me.
Did you say Hamilton?
Did I say Hamilton or no?
Yeah, I think we have Hamilton in a sweep.
Yeah.
Or did you?
I don't know if I did, but that's okay. What I have.
128.623. And I have Lewis too. Mm-mm-mm. Of course, this is going to be one where Max takes the pole. We just jinxed it. But for race predictions and the podium.
There goes the drag race again. Right on cue outside of Deanna's apartment.
Wednesday at 11.
Yep. The Hoboken Grand Prix is going on in the background.
Tune in every Wednesday and Sunday night.
But James, we'll let you go first for the race prediction podium. What you got?
All right. So I got Hamilton in first, Verstappen in second, Bottas in third.
The old reliable ham there bot. I will second that, actually. I do think that that's probably how this is going to play out. Mercedes look pretty good, at least on paper. If they can keep the engine together long enough, I think it will be ham there bot. 1, 2, 3. John, what you got?
If there's ever time for a wingman to step up, this would be it, Valtteri. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. I mean, the safe bet would obviously be to hamper a bot, as you've now deemed it. So, you know, big picture, you know, you can't win it all in lap one. You know, that mentality. I'll go hamper a bot, even though I feel like it might be hand bot bear, but...
All right, Deanna.
Stop doing that.
I'm going to go Hamilton Verstappen. What is that noise?
It's in your head. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Hamilton Verstappen. And I think, I don't know, I feel like this race is going to be one of those ones that's real all over the place.
Mazepin.
And I feel like Latifi. I'm going to say McLaren have a bit of a comeback here, and I'll put Norris back on the podium.
All right.
That is my slightly out of left field.
Am there Nor?
Actually, no, I don't like that. I'm just going to do Hamilton Verstappen Perez.
Can you go Hamilton? Ham.
Don't tip me. Hamilton Verstappen Perez, just to do something different. Okay. And I feel a little bit. All right. Not out of left field. Okay. I'm going to regret that, but whatever.
Ham Verper.
So our next category is fastest lap and the driver. John,
I think it should be
first.
Ladies first on this one. I mean,
okay, I will do
all
it.
Right, Deanna will step up and
I'm saying Hamilton, and okay. I would like to note that my predictions lead to a tie going into Abu Dhabi, and that's exactly why I did that, because I would like that for that to happen. Anyway, I'm gonna go for a 134 flat.
Hamilton on a 134 dead. Okay. I'll be the next one to jump in. I actually have Max Verstappen, and I'm not quite prices rating you, but I'm sure I'm going to get prices rated with this one, but I'm going to go 133.966.
A little close, but all right.
Does it warrant a sound? You know,
no. Keep going.
Are you sure? I mean, I've got it queued up and everything.
We're not done yet. Hang on. We may get there.
James, why don't you go, buddy?
I'm going to go 132.711 by Valtteri.
And who's your driver? All right, John.
I'm going to go, and this is why I was asking you that weird question earlier. I am going to go with a flip a coin here. I'm going to go with a Lance Stroll.
Okay.
All right, hear me out.
Oh, my God. Okay. Your question barrier, it makes even less sense now.
Yeah. So in the okay.
The question I asked earlier, the shorter version is, you know, if you're Toto and you got to call one team to help you out, is it going to be McLaren or Aston Martin? Andy said Aston Martin because they're closer. So I'm thinking, you know, if you're a Perez,
and you pit for fastest lap. You know, if Bottas is up there, you don't want to take away points from Bottas. You can't pit him because he may be lose positions. So who can you call to get a point away from Red Bull? You call Aston Martin.
You are going to say that Stroll is going to take the fastest lap off of Perez?
He pits on the last lap. Second last lap.
Yes,
second
on the last lap. Lap.
Second last lap.
No. Okay, whatever.
Toto says,
all right,
you know,
enter it. Enter it.
It's yours.
Hey, Daddy
it's
Stroll.
Yours.
Hey, Lawrence. Hey, buddy. I need you to do me a solid since we gave you our brake ducks last year. You got to do me a solid. You know, you owe me a favor, and I'm cashing in. I need you to pit Lance because I think he might be faster than Vettel, potentially. James, I don't know your thoughts on that. And I need you to throw on the fastest set of tires you got, Sauce, and see what happens because we need you to get a point away from Perez or Verstappen. And then that's my thoughts here. So.
Okay. So what's the lap time?
So, since James went with a 132.711, I will go with a 132.712.
Now, I would like to say that if Stroll ends up in the fastest lap, it'll probably be because this race was just an absolute carnage best disaster. But I just want to point out that John said that he's, in his scenario, it is Mercedes calling Aston Martin to pit him for softs at the end of the race, not just like any normal situation that would ever lead to Perez getting, or Stroll getting fastest lap. So,
I'm
if that happens, go buy a lottery ticket, but good luck.
I'm anticipating, you know, listen, you know, it's crunch time and every point counts. So
apparently the air is a little thin up at the top of the leaderboard, but,
you know, I felt
if you got to call somebody,
I felt stupid after I said Bottas or fastest lap. Cause I was like, shit, if Hamilton has it, they're not gonna let Bottas get it and steal a point from him. But
see,
then John, you made me feel way better about myself. So thank you.
This is the problem because they're going to play this fastest lap game. And, you know, if they're all running relatively close together, high speeds, you know, they seem to be a little bit packed out. You know, you got to find someone. You can't pitch your own guy because you can't lose positions for a fastest lap. But if you got to make a call, you call your boys at Aston Martin and you say, hey, please, God, do something and get a fastest lap, please.
Okay, well, for the drivers not in Mercedes or Red Bull that have gotten fastest laps this year, two of them were Ricardo and Norris in Italy and Russia, where that McLaren looked very good. We'll see how the Aston goes here. And then the other one was the weird one, but that was Gasly in Hungary. So we'll see. Good luck. There's your kind of what has happened this season.
I think this sums up the last few minutes of this show with...
Nobody even noticed that Price is right at James, so there's not even a comment about it. I'm quite shocked.
Well, that's why I wanted to make sure I got it in there. I got it in there.
Listen.
I didn't even hear you say a time. I was just so
she was still reeling.
That's my response. Let's see if it actually works for once.
And I can do that because I did.
There you go.
But did you want to? Like,
Listen, when you're at the top of the leaderboard, you can take risk, you know? It's and life's a big risk. You gotta going for it. So,
fair point.
I don't remember how much of a lead I have. It's not that much actually anymore. And it's kicking everybody's ass. But yeah, that's another issue.
So, for bonus picks, since we did not do one last time, I will keep the honor of picking, and I picked P5, P6, and P9. So I will go first for this one. I have P5 being Lando Norris. I have P6 being Charles Leclerc. I have P9 being one Esteban Ocon in the Alpine.
What was the first one?
We are dangerously similar, Andy.
Norris in fifth, Leclerc in sixth, and Ocon in ninth.
I still didn't hear the first one.
Norris.
Okay, thanks.
We're very similar, Andy. My initial write down was Lando, Leclerc, and Alonso, but I think in the interest of defeating you, I'm going to say Leclerc 5, Lando 6, Alonso 9. Even though I definitely think it's going to be a Lando Trek. But...
All right, Deanna, what you got?
I will also go Norris P5. And then I will do Ricardo P6. And then I will do a Gasly P9.
All right. Jai, what's your thoughts for 5, 6, and 9?
I will go with a Leclerc 5, Sainz 6, and a Seb Vettel, you know, making up for Stroll. And going P9.
Because he's too busy Stroll
was in P9, and so then he pitted for new tires out of the points, and then Vettel was back up into ninth, apparently.
That would all make sense. That works for me,
isn't it? The math? I mean,
where's the meme of all of the connections?
With Charlie, you know,
that's down right now.
Yeah, the chart.
Yeah.
Remember, the end game is, as long as Red Bull doesn't walk away with it, you don't care who gets it. So, or if nobody gets it, it's totally fine as well. So, I'm just saying. All
right.
If it happens, I want all of you to buy me bottles of bourbon like I did James this week. minimum $99.99, please.
I'm in if Stroll gets the best. I'll pay that off.
By the way, how's the bet going between you two? Off. We haven't talked about that in a while.
Oh, I lost for sure. I just need. So what's the payout, Andy?
Oh, at some point it was supposed to be a round of tequila in Austin, but we're so tired after the race we just didn't do it.
Yep. Well, I'll send you a bottle of tequila or whatever you'd like. Just let me know.
Benny's Beverage Depot, Deanna.
there's one not far.
Andy's got one right down the street.
It does. Yep. Perfect. Used to be a bowling alley.
So our.
Did it really? Wow.
Yep.
The more you know.
The Evergreen Bowling Alley.
Bleeker's Bowl. I grew up there.
That's an interesting transition of a business. Bowling alley to full-on liquor warehouse.
Well, the last one, where I was raised, is now a banquet hall. The Hickory Hills Bowling Alley is now a banquet hall for weddings and all sorts of
things. They should have kept the chutes, and they could have put bottle, and like instead of the ball coming back through, they could just drop the bottles in there and shot them back to the front store. A little assembly line, you know, kind of deal. I don't know. Just thinking out loud here.
All right. So our prop
the show's gone off the rail, folks.
Which Deanna has generously contributed will be number of red flags in both qualifying and the race, because this thing could just be a hot freaking mess. We may be around for a very long time covering it on Sunday. So our thoughts on red flags qualifying and the race. Deanna, we'll have you.
Instead of us going one at a time so we can't cheat, you'll just count to three and you can put up how many fingers you think. Unless you think it's going to be more than 10, which would be crazy.
I think, John, are you more than 10?
Hang on. Let me do the math. Okay. Hey, now.
Well, Lance Stroll is going to get the fastest lap and then cause a red flag.
No, it's going to be the 10 red flags took everybody out, and Lance Stroll is the only one left on track.
Fastest by default.
Listen, anything's possible here. If we don't race at all, then I think Lance Stroll gets the fastest lap by default.
No, actually, then by default, Daniel Ricciardo gets the win because he has the lowest number. Because that's how they stack it.
Oh, great. Excellent point, Andy.
Yep, what? Yep. On the timing screens before they start, they start it in numerical order.
That would have been the smartest pick for your fastest lap if you wanted to go out.
It's a shame
we
didn't do that.
So if there's no race,
Dang.
Well, they ran the two laps. That's hence why the thing
they got through qualifying. But if he doesn't run, then Ricardo. That's
all right.
Number one spot. Right. Anyway.
Interesting.
This is what happens when Lewis doesn't take the number one. It's his own fault. He's costing himself a potential race win here. He could have been at the top of the leaderboard defaulting the whole year. He chose not to do it. Bad strategy. Analysis paralysis.
What is happening to this show?
I don't know what we're doing here.
You know all those great numbers I posted today on Twitter about all our 500% increase? It's all gone tonight.
This is why the four of us rarely do what
we're
doing.
Are we doing this?
Spotify still send you that chart if your numbers go down 500%.
Who's doing the countdown?
Can't wait to see it.
Wait, do we trust James?
Well, I'm going to put up a number on
my No middle fingers, James.
Okay.
I will count down. I will not talking to the mic. This is the best. Okay.
Are you going to count down or count up?
I mean, for the audio side of things, we apologize.
Down.
Do we go on one or do we go on go?
Well, that's a good point.
Is it 3, 2, 1, go?
Okay. Go. 3, 2, 1, go. All right. 3, two, one, go. I went first by a long shot.
I had to find the camera.
I don't know what James did. He's off camera. He's changing his. He's like, hang on. Three. One, two, three.
All right.
Four for me.
I'm sticking with three.
For all those just on audio, I went with three. James went with three. Andy went with three. And John went with one. But I would also like to point out that I put
wait,
up three.
Wait, I did four.
Way before everybody else
John did four. John did four.
I'm definitely a four. Yeah. Definitely a four.
Oh, did I not say four?
No, you said one.
You said one.
Sorry, I meant to say four. We're just, the day is.
One, four, I mean.
It's
fine.
It's all the same at this point. Three, 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 four. Well, are you guys cheating?
Well,
all
right, any now.
Hang on.
I think you need to replay the video because we were all pretty on at the same time.
Well, the question is.
I think this is pre-planned. Like an investigation.
Stewards inquiry. Which set of stewards? The Qatari ones or these ones? Which one are you protesting?
Hang on. Let me do my math first. All right. Good times.
So we've actually got to the end of our little rundown. Practice and race times. These are actually a bit different, so please pay attention. Practice 1 will kick off at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. That's kind of normal. Practice 2 kicks off 12 noon on the East Coast of the U.S. Practice 3 is at 9 a.m. Eastern. Qualifying is then at 12 p.m. on the Eastern time zone. The race itself, this is the first time that I can remember in forever that it's ever started at the bottom of the hour. The race kicks off 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So don't expect to wait till 1. You'll be a half an hour in, and if there's red flags, maybe you'll get caught up. But the race will start at 12:30. At least that's what it's scheduled to start.
You want to hear my dumb moment of the day I just had? Or the great realization was at the top and the bottom of the hours, like the clock.
Dude, I just did the same thing.
I never knew that.
Wow.
like bottom of the hour. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, it's like the half. And the
I legit just had the same realization. For the longest time, I always wondered why Andy would say soup to nuts. And I was like, I've heard that before, but I don't know what the hell it means. Does anybody know what it means?
Because
I looked it up.
Back to front, everything.
Well, but why though? It's
because you start with the soup at the beginning of the meal and you end with the nuts at the end.
Exactly, it's a full course meal.
What?
Yes, yeah. it's like an old English thing.
Is that what?
I think it's like an old.
Well, English. I know nobody around more today logical. Actually has those, you know, ornate meals, but that's where it
Listen,
comes from.
I just want to point out:
start with the soup and end with
two
the nuts.
Of the three of y'all called me stupid a little bit ago, and y'all over here talking about. You know, the clock. I mean, come on now. I'm not going
to
be mean and say that word.
Because
I'm a nice person like that. But I'm just saying, you know.
If Lance Stroll gets fastest lap, dude, pick your liquor out now. I will buy you a bottle of that and send it your way.
I do know how a clock works, though. Just saying.
I know how it works. I just never put the like verbiage together. Well, I just hear people say top of the hour, and I never really think about it. But then you said bottom of the hour, and then I was like, what is that? Anyway, but I figured it out on my own.
Yeah. Eventually, same. I feel I'm.
That's what we're doing.
I'm actually proud of myself.
We're educating everybody here.
Oh boy,
that's what we do here. So this hot mess has basically reached its end. We hope you enjoy the race on Sunday. We hope there is a race on Sunday that we can talk about. We will be back on Sunday night to recap it all. We will also have, I believe we have a confirmed special guest, which we will reveal on Sunday night. So please do turn into that.
About that.
John, you're giving me.
Yeah, that's okay. Assuming that he doesn't watch this episode and goes to us. That's a high probability at this point.
Oh, I think he wants to have a good time and go off the rails with us on Sunday night.
He's
so.
Like, what
but
the
we'll
hell
try to be a little
bit
more disciplined.
Into. Yeah, apologies in advance.
On Sunday night, like I said. So tune in, and we will have a special guest joining us for a recap of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. So for James, for John, for Deanna, it's been Andy. We hope you've enjoyed this episode with us a little bit going off the rails, but that's all right. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutLapF1 Podcast, or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.